Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're in Job chapter 37 today, beginning in verse number 1. So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 37 verse 1, at this also my heart trembles and is moved out of its place. And if you go back to the last verse in the previous chapter, you know he's talking about thunderstorms. And he says, a powerful thunderstorm, that gets to me every single time. Verse 2, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goes out of his mouth. You know, I think it's good to think of God when you hear thunder. I do, every single time. Forget the scientific explanation, okay? Let's just set that aside for a second as not being the most important thing, because God invented the science of thunder and the science of lightning and everything, so that when it thundered, he could say, it's me. Just a reminder that I'm up here, and I sure am a lot more powerful than you, aren't I? Verse 3. He directs it under the whole heaven and his lightning to the ends of the earth. Somewhere right now, God is flashing lightning and causing thunder. Somewhere on the earth, that's going on. Verse 4, after it, a voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his excellency, and he will not restrain them when his voice is heard. In other words, after the lightning comes the thunder. And that's scientifically accurate. Verse 5, God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he, which we cannot comprehend. And lightning and thunder are just a small sample of God's power. He does other things too that would stagger our minds if we just thought about them for a second. Look at verse 6, for he says to the snow, be on the earth, likewise to the gentle rain and to the heavy rain of his strength. God is the one who causes it to snow. Boy, I can remember as a child, especially in grade school, we used to get a lot more snow up here in Wisconsin in those days than what we do now. And I just used to look forward with such great anticipation big thunders or big snowstorms in the winter, especially during school days, because there was a good chance that that snow or that school would be canceled the next day. And I remember falling asleep at night with the earplug in my little transistor radio, laying in bed listening to the weather forecast, just hoping that maybe by some chance they would cancel school the night before, but listen to the weather forecast, hoping for a lot of snow, you know, to really be dumped on. And every child who looks forward to having school canceled because of snow can thank the Lord when it happens. Verse 7, he seals up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. No one can escape the weather. You say, well, I just stay inside. Well, yeah, but what's keeping you inside? The weather. No one can escape the weather. Verse 8, then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. So wild animals head for their dens when the weather gets rough. God is the one who put those instincts in them. Otherwise, they wouldn't. They'd stay out in the weather and get hit by lightning. Verse 9, out of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. God releases blizzards. When you have a polar vortex that comes down from the North Pole and shoots down into northern Wisconsin or Wisconsin in general, that's God's doing. He releases blizzards. He releases freezing rains. I know they get a lot of that down in middle part of America. A lot of freezing rain. Nobody likes that. But that comes from the hand of God as well. Verse 10, by the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen. You go ice fishing? I don't. A lot of people up here, though, they do. in December and January and February, the Lake Wausau is filled with what are called ice shacks, little huts, basically, where people go out and ice fish when it's below zero. Sounds like fun, huh? Well, God, you can thank God. If you like doing that kind of stuff, that's great. You can thank God for it. You can thank him because he's the one who decided that the lakes should freeze over. Verse 11. It says, also with moisture he loads the thick cloud. He scatters his bright cloud. So God is in control of clouds. Every single cloud God is in control of. And I don't know if meteorologists understand all the science behind weather. I don't know if they do or not. I don't know if they understand exactly how lightning works, but I think it's just enough to say that God does it. He's in control. One thing is certain. No cloud cover is an accident. No bolt of lightning is an accident. No clap of thunder is an accident. Verse 12 says, and it is turned around by his guidance, that they may do whatsoever he commands them upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, God commands weather to do what he wants it to do all over the world, all the time. Weather is a part of his sovereignty. So I guess we should think twice before we complain about the weather, because we're complaining about God's sovereignty when we do that. 13, he causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. God uses weather for a lot of reasons. He uses weather to correct people. He uses weather to remind people that he is there. And he also uses weather to bless. He blesses skiers with snow. He blesses skaters with ice. He blesses farmers with rain and sunshine, gardeners, you name it. Verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. It's a good idea to slow down and think carefully about God's mighty works. And that's what he's telling Job to do. Just consider the mighty works of God. Don't let them go over your head. The things that God does in nature are designed to tell us about him. Verse 15, do you know when God dispatched them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? That's a good question. How does God make his bright lightning come out of a dark storm? Where's that light come from? Job, do you know? Verse 16, do you know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is blameless in knowledge? Do you know God piles high his clouds and balances them one upon another, Job? And verse 17 says, how your garments are warm when he quiets the earth by a south wind. God can do huge things with the weather, Job, is what he's saying. But you can't even stay cool on a warm day. Look at how warm your clothes are. You don't even know how to respond to the weather. You can't always compensate for the weather so that you are comfortable as you want to be. Verse 18. Have you with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten mirror? If we can't control the weather enough to keep ourselves cool on a hot day, then we sure can't stretch out the sky like God does. Look at how much bigger God is than we are. Love these verses. Verse 19 says, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech because of darkness. Eliphaz is being sarcastic here. You're so smart, Job, so teach us how to approach God, because we don't even know how to do that. Verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up." In other words, who's dumb enough to challenge God by saying, "It's my turn to talk, Lord, now you listen." 21. "And now men cannot look on the bright light, which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and clears them." God is big enough to make the sun, but man is too weak to even look at it. Hurts his eyes. Verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Fair weather comes out of the north. With God is awesome majesty." And just the fact that God controls the weather. And you know, when it's hot, when it's boiling hot, and God sends relief, he'll send that cool weather out of the north. That's where the cool breeze come from. So you get a cool breeze, you thank God for that. That little bit of relief that comes from the hand of God as well. Verse 23, "As for the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in abundant justice. He will not afflict." You know, he is just. God is just. And we can't find him out. In other words, we can't figure out God. Don't even try. He is almighty. You can't begin to fathom the power, the strength, the majesty that God has, because there's nothing to compare him to. You have no reference point. It's just enough to accept the fact that he is and to be thankful that he is just, but that he's also merciful. He's a good God that does the right things and stands up for what is right, which should be a comfort to us. But the flip side of that is he's merciful. You know, he gives us that cool breeze in the middle of a hot day sometimes. Or he died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we won't have to go to hell and satisfy his justice. His son did that for him, or I should say for us. Verse 24, "Men do therefore fear him. He respects not any that are wise of heart." If you're smart, you'll fear God. You just think about his power and his ability to do anything that he wants to do. Just listen to one clap of thunder. You know how powerful he is. If that doesn't get you to respect him, if his love doesn't get you to respect him, then maybe his power will, and the fact that he is just. But I can tell you this, he'll honor you, and he'll take care of you if you humble yourself before him and admit that he's God and begin to serve him. But if you don't, if you're prideful, you think you're your own man or you're your own woman, you're in trouble, because he's not going to respect you. And if God doesn't respect you, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to be on the wrong end of his wrath. Next time, verse 38, or chapter 38.